Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, January 8th, 2015, just after 3 UTC. I realized in our last show, where we were reviewing 2014, I forgot to give the time. I gave the date, but not the time. It's a tragedy, okay. And all of my listeners are probably really upset.
Upset that they don't know what time we did it?
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
I know. Well, I'm sure that the
1-800 UTC for anybody.
Our 1-800 complaint line will be flooded with those complaints.
Yeah, sure. And as you can hear, this is Yvonne Bo is talking. He's with us again, and I'm Sam Minter.
We're all here, and we're on a scheduled date. We did have to negotiate dates and times.
Which our normal date and time, and we're back to the normal format. We're going to talk about the events of the day and stuff. And there's one big obvious story today. We're recording, you know, like something like 12 hours after the attack on Charlie Nebo. I've been practicing it all fucking day, and then when it comes
Charlie
to
Hebbo?
Hebbo. Yeah. Anyway.
Hebdo.
Anyway, there was the attack on Charlie Hebdo in Paris, and that's the big story of the day. So we'll probably spend, you know, a significant portion of the show, you know, talking about that in particular. But there are a few other things. We might talk about CES a little bit. We might talk about the new Congress. We might do a little bit of an update on the interview since, you know, more events happened while we were doing our special shows. But first... I've been doing this thing where I've been giving my short little, well, sometimes they get not short, but we'll try to keep it short, updates of, things I watch, things I read, things like that. And I encourage you, Yvonne, to do the same. If you actually, you know, have seen an interesting movie or book or whatever.
Oh, gosh, I
Yeah. So
my reading has like declined substantially as of late. I got to be honest, I'm a guy who usually read quite a lot. And I got to tell you, I think this last year, maybe I read 2014, maybe if I read two books, it was a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not very good. And it's just been, I don't know, it's just been a lot of stuff going on, man. I'm trying to simplify, and I'm not doing a very good job of it. Yeah, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly know what you mean. I read more than two books in the last year, and it's actually been I've started to do audiobooks sometimes during my commute, and that increases it a bit. It's still nowhere near as much as I'd like to read.
No, I'm with you, and it's just I'm one of those guys that's involved that. Aside from work, I'm like involved in the community. Like I'm on the condo board. So that lately has like taken a lot of my time. Okay, we had to do a budget. Okay, we have to pass an annual budget, and there's an election. We have to run an election. We have to do. There's a lawsuit going on. So it's like stuff like that. It's like, you know, and I, you know, talked the other day. I do some business on the side, and all that took up a whole bunch of time. Hopefully I actually try to extract myself from a couple of deals that I made money, thankfully, on. But it's just they were taking up too much of my damn time, and I said that's it.
I hear you. I'm not involved in the community at all, but you know, I spend time with my kid and my kids,
and time with my kid. Heaven forbid! Yeah, my God, I spend a whole ton of time with them too, and you know, it's like I try to go to everything that I can. But I'll give you an example. Yesterday, look, my day yesterday. I woke up yesterday morning, took my kid to school, then came home, took a shower, changed, and I drove 200 miles to Orlando for a meeting. Spent the whole day in Orlando until like about 8:30. Had dinner with the people, did something, whatever. Got in my car at 8:30 last night. Drove home, got home at 11:30 last night.
I hear you, and I mean, I've been doing my stupid election stuff, although there's been less of it lately. But you know, and look, we've all got stuff to do.
Yeah, we've all got stuff to do. Everybody's busy.
I carve off a little bit of time. So anyway, look. Since you, in the time we've been doing special shows and other things, I've got a couple things to report on. I finished one book. It was a very, very small book. is called the Ice Dragon.
And I gotta find one of those very short books.
There you go. Well, the Ice Dragon is
that way I can count more books.
What?
That way I can count more books.
There you go. Anyway, the Ice Dragon is by George R. R. Martin. He's the guy who wrote Game of Thrones. I have not read Game of Thrones yet, but this was by him, and supposedly it's in the same world as Game of Thrones, but it doesn't really matter too much. It's just barely more than a short story. So it's like it's like between a short story and a novella, I guess. You know? But anyway, it's about a girl and her dragon, basically.
And her dragon.
Yeah. Okay. The girl has a little adventure with the dragon. You know, she meets a dragon and things happen and you know, it is a cute little story. I'll just put it that way. I don't want to give away any spoilers because the whole damn thing is like 40 pages long. So, like, if I say anything, I've pretty much given it away. But it's about a girl and her dragon, and it's kind of cute. And there's some sad bits and there's some whatever. But, you know, it's cute. And it doesn't really, like I said, supposedly it's in the same universe as Game of Thrones. But it doesn't really matter to the story. You don't have to know anything about it. This was published well before Game of Thrones was. I don't know, 80. Or something. But anyway, it was a cute little story. I'd recommend it. It's, you can probably get through the damn thing in less than an hour.
Yeah, that sounds good. There you go. That'll work. That's something.
You know? Okay. So, I mean, I actually had to intentionally slow it down because, you know, I always plan out my books in advance, and the next book I was going to read after this was not available on Kindle. And so I had to order a physical copy.
Wow.
And, you know, even though it was Prime, you know, I ordered it on like a Friday night or something, and it was going to get there on Tuesday. And so I had to space out this short little book to last 4 days until the next book was in my hands. Because I didn't want to finish the book and not have the next one ready.
Ah.
So it was really difficult. I would read like 2 pages and I'm like, okay, I got to stop.
That's too funny.
Anyway, that was the only book. I did go, you know, it was over the holiday. I went to a couple movies, actually, in the theater.
I wanted to do that. Yeah. I got to be honest. And I got to see nothing.
I saw Interstellar. It is almost out of the theaters, but I saw it and with my wife. And it was,
what did you think of it?
Bruce had reviewed it on this show when he was on a while back, and he liked it. I'll give you my bottom line. I liked it. It was an enjoyable movie. You know, as a number of people have pointed out, there are, you know, tons and tons of plot holes, but that didn't matter. Like, if you're into it for...
Oh, God. You know, plot holes. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there are plot holes here. There are plot holes there. There's all kinds of things that, you know, okay, they got the simulation of the black hole right. That was physics that they did just for this movie, and they made sure to get that right. But, you know, all the other science related stuff was completely off, but that doesn't matter because it was a fun story to listen to. There was, you know, the sort of emotional resonances of the guy's relationship with his daughter and, you know, and all of these things about how, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'd heard other people review it and saying that that sort of part of it, yeah, like they didn't mind some movies that had bad science as long as the story was good, but they found this story to be sort of by the numbers, predictable from the beginning, and all the sort of heartstrings they pulled were sort of cheap sort of heartstrings to pull. And, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with all of that. I mean, the ending sort of made sense from the very beginning. I kind of was spoiled a little bit in terms of knowing what would happen at the end. But I think it was fairly obvious anyway. But again, it's like, it was pleasant to get from here to there. Now, the one thing I could say for it is it was a long movie. It was like a 3-hour movie.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah. And it probably could have easily been a 2-hour movie and it would have been just fine. You know, I mean, it wasn't bad. There's some other 3-hour movies that, you know, are painful to get to the end of. This was not that category. I was fine. I made sure to go to the bathroom first, you know. But you know, it probably could have used some editing, but it was a good movie. I would recommend it. You know, it's a nice way to spend 3 hours. It's nothing special. It's nothing that I'm going to be like remembering 20 years from now. Oh my God, how awesome was that movie? I want to see it again. But it was a fine way to spend 3 hours. The other movie that I saw, also with my wife, we had like two dates this last month where it was just her and me, which is incredibly unusual. Was The Imitation Game. And that's the one with Benedict Cumberbatch, whatever, you know the guy I'm talking about.
No,
you don't know.
No.
He plays
no.
Sherlock.
No,
you have no idea.
I have no idea.
Important British actor. Look him up. And he was playing Alan Turing. Do you know who Alan Turing is?
No. I'm sorry. What do you want me to do?
Alan Turing is a famous computer scientist from the World War II era.
Okay.
And he's known for a couple of things. One, he basically invented the theory that underlies all modern day computers. It's known as the Turing machine, which is basically the theory shows that if you have a machine with certain very minimal capabilities, the ability to manipulate binary bits in various ways, that it can basically solve a huge class of problems. It's it's the underlying theory between all modern digital computers. He's also known for something known as the Turing test, which is an idea of a way that you could distinguish if a non-human, specifically a machine, was actually intelligent.
I have heard of that, but I didn't remember that.
The third thing he is known for is being the mastermind behind cracking the Enigma code during World War II.
I didn't remember it was him. Okay.
And then the fourth thing he is known for is in the 50s being prosecuted for being a homosexual and being chemically castrated and then committing suicide.
Ooh.
That
sucks.
And this is while all his contributions during the war and stuff were still super top secret and unknown.
That really blows.
Anyway, and he was just, you know, posthumously honored all kinds of honors by the Queen like a couple years ago or something. But, you know, a lot of good that does him now. Anyway, very good movie. It's, you know, there's all kinds of buzz about it that it's going to win all kinds of awards. You know, it manages, like, the end of that story is a sad ending. I mean, the guy commits suicide after being, you know, prosecuted for his homosexuality. But the story manages not to be about that or to be sad overall and just go through sort of, you know, highlights of his life through that period. And, you know, as with any historical drama, it's not completely accurate. If you go on Wikipedia, there are, of course, lists of things that are different between reality and the movie. But it was, it was a good movie. It's the kind that, you know, my wife was sort of like, it felt long to me, and it wasn't as long as Interstellar. It didn't feel long at all to me. I was, you know, sort of engrossed in the story and what happened to this guy, and the fact that it was a true story, or mostly true, like I said, was gives it some extra, you know, because it doesn't have, like, when you have these stories like this, it's not like you have all kinds of dramatic events at just the right moment and blah, 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 like you have in something that's scripted and made up out of whole cloth that, you know, is made to be an adventure or whatever. It's not like that. It's a story of this guy's life and what was going on and some of the accomplishments he made. It really concentrates on the enigma part of it as opposed to some of his other, you know, theoretical analysis. But it was a good movie. I liked it. Benedict Cumberbatch does a great job playing the role. And also highly recommended. I would go to that. And third one that I'll just say shortly was not one I went to the theater for, but was one that I actually watched at home. I watched it with Alex. I'd wanted to see it when it was in the theaters earlier, but had never gotten around to it. And Alex has finally really gotten into this particular thing in the last few months. So we watched the Lego Movie.
Oh.
Which also I really liked.
Okay. There you go.
You know, and it's just a cute little movie. It's about, you know, it's about these Lego people, and they go around and they have an adventure, and you know, and I won't spoil anything, but it's for somebody who played with Lego a lot as a kid, you know, there are all kinds of callbacks to sort of 1970s and 80s Legos, with a bunch of stuff built from newer Lego stuff there too. You know, it's got you know, the 1980s astronaut Lego guy. It's got you know, it's got Lego Batman, you know, it's got all kinds of stuff, and it's just a lot of fun. Of these three, Imitation Game is the only sort of quote-unquote serious movie, but Lego Movie's definitely a lot of fun, and you know, it was on it was on HBO Go, so I just watched it off there. It was cool. And
okay,
good movie to bring a kid to, especially one who's into Lego.
Yeah, that I'm sure that would probably help.
Yeah, I mean, but. And that's it for my movie and books this time. I did want, one more thing to mention I've got, is that just the other thing I'm watching, which I mentioned a few shows ago, is the from the AFI's top 100 list. I'm watching off Netflix, Birth of a Nation, which is this silent movie from like 1912. It's 3 hours long. It's incredibly painful. It's racist. It's like, you know, whatever. But and it's just I'm making myself watch it, like, because when I mentioned it on a show before, it's a silent movie, so I can't just have it on and do something else. When
right.
I watch
you
it,
watch,
I have to
right.
be watching
you have to
it.
Watch it, right.
You know, so I'm watching like 10, 15 minutes at a time, and I'm about an hour and a half through the 3-hour movie at this point. So it's going to take me another few weeks to get through this damn thing. And then 15 minutes since I've started talking about books and movies and video, so let's take a break.
Yes, we got to take a break because we committed to making these shows shorter.
And so, like, you hear, I got a bell.
There you go. Like the bell.
I like the bell. So, and I've got a timer here, and I've got the bell, and I started a 15-minute timer, and when the 15 minutes was up, and we're done. Okay.
All right.
So I will be, we'll take another break and we'll be back. And, I don't know if we save the France stuff to last or go ahead and jump right in. Probably jump right in.
Jump right in.
We'll be back right after this. This is Sam from the future. In the next segment, we're going to talk about the Charlie Hebdo attacks and some of the reaction to it. While we were recording, this was obviously a breaking news event. Even as I'm putting this show together to release, it is still a breaking news event. Additional things continue to happen related to this. So please keep that in mind as you are listening. We'll probably talk about it again next week for the further aftermath. Thank you, and here's the show. Do-do-do. Okay, we're back. I started the 15-minute timer again. So, all of you guys are familiar with this, and you probably know more than we do by the time you're listening to this show. This magazine is known for publishing offensive things of all kinds of different sorts.
Right. Not just against Muslims.
Not just against Muslims.
Offensive, you know, they offend everybody equally.
They've had covers of Jesus having sex with God. They've had all kinds of things like making fun of Catholics, making fun of the Pope. I guess the Pope is a Catholic, but you know what I mean. All kinds of things. Their modus operandi is tweaking everybody. And amongst that, I've seen some of the covers. They've done racist covers that, you know, are doing stereotypical black people, depicted as slaves. They've done all of this stuff. Like, so no matter who you are, you've got something that you could be really offended by if you were cared to be. But in particular, they've run a number of things put Muhammad in various compromising positions and sort of made fun of radical Muslims in various ways. And they've been under threats of various sorts for years. Their offices had been firebombed in the past. They actually had a degree of police protection, although not very much, apparently. Today, apparently, three armed people came in. One sort of stayed on the getaway vehicle. The other two came in with AK-47s and forced their way into the building by threatening somebody at the door to put in the door code or be shot. Then they went up to the editorial meeting and asked for specific people by name, some of the cartoonists, the editors, and shot them. Ended up killing 12 people, injuring a few more beyond that. They headed out. They shot as well. They shot one policeman who was there on duty guarding the editor of this publication, and they shot another policeman on the way out. Then they drove away. And there's been a manhunt underway ever since. As we're recording it, just within the last hour or two, there was news that the French had put out three names. The youngest of the three has turned himself in. Although there are conflicting reports, like apparently some of this kid's friends, the youngest of the three is only 18. Some of the people who knew him at school have been posting on social media, "Hey, you got the wrong guy with this one. He was in class with us when this happened." And that may be why he's turned himself in, because he really...
Right, because you're right.
He's a suspect. He might not actually be guilty. Meanwhile, they're still searching for the other two. They've put out wanted posters. There's a big manhunt underway. It's very reminiscent of the Boston bombing and the aftermath thereof. They haven't shut down Paris, but they have shut down some small suburbs where they suspected some of these people to be. And this is ongoing as we're recording. And, you know, it usually takes me 1 to 2 days to put these things out. So a lot more may have happened by then. But that's the bottom line of the situation. Where do we go from there, Yvonne?
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's something about where you go from there more than publications in general have the right, I think, to a certain extent to publish stuff that some may find funny and some may find offensive. There was a group when I was a kid in Puerto Rico. They're not very active right now, but they had a TV satire show and they made fun of everybody. Didn't matter what your persuasion was or whatever, but that's what they did on a weekly basis. It's one of those things where, you know, people go and take the acts of somebody who basically is expressing their opinions in that way and takes it to a level that their response becomes violence. But these are groups that are known to be violent. I mean, when you make fun of them in that way, I mean, they have not been shown to be people who take this kind of humor well. The response, I guess, to a certain extent, is it surprising? I guess not. To a certain extent, I mean, they've, like you said, that their offices have been firebombed before, attacked, other things that happen.
Well, I mean, there are a couple things here. When we were talking about the interview a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how they were stupid to make it actually Kim Jong-il. They weren't. They didn't really have to.
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un. Sorry. Yeah, I'm a couple decades out of date. Whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, they didn't really have to, and it didn't really add much to what they were doing. With that kind of movie, it could have been anybody. It could have been some random dictator. The fact that it was North Korea didn't make much of a difference.
The dictator. Whatever.
But having said that, once they chose to do so, it absolutely was their right to do so, and any attempts to intimidate them out of that are inappropriate. I mean, all of the stuff that happened, and of course, they didn't actually have anybody killed of that. Of course, what they were worried about, and the reason they pulled it got pulled out of theaters, was because the theaters were worried that there were threats that this kind of thing would happen.
There were terrorist threats. Right.
And this is exactly the kind of threats that people were worried about, is some guy going into a movie theater and shooting people who were watching this.
Right. Exactly.
It's that whole thing where I may not agree with your viewpoint, but it is so vitally important that everybody can get out their viewpoint. It's sort of critical. It's one of the most critical things about, what some folks call, the Western liberal order, which is liberal with a small L, not a big L, not the name that's been made out of that, but that freedom of expression is so core. And anything, and this is not a First Amendment thing. This is not just government. This is the notion that everybody should be able to feel free to speak their mind without fearing for their life, certainly. And we've talked about some tough issues before in terms of okay, if you're the CEO of a company and you're speaking your unpopular opinion, is it okay to fire you? Well, yeah, it probably is if it's going to affect your job. And does anybody have to publish anything? If I'm running a website and I have a comment section, people start posting hate speech in the comment section of my website. Should I feel free to remove it? Should Facebook feel free to remove comments that they think are inappropriate?
Be honest with you, I'm against reader comment sections. I think that they're the biggest waste of.
They're a big cesspool, but the point.
They're utter sheer. You're giving people a platform to be idiots, basically.
The point is though, do those private organizations have any sort of obligation to provide a platform? No, they don't.
No, they don't. Not at all.
No, they don't at all. But in general, the notion that somebody should feel free to have a platform, I think, is critical. And, and I actually worry about some of the tendencies, to have, restrictions on hate speech. And saying that you can't say certain things, or even some political viewpoints are so unpopular that people are trying to suppress the speech itself, racists have the right to be racist and express their racist opinions. Do I disagree with them? Do I wish they wouldn't? Absolutely. But they should be able to express those opinions and have people argue against.
They can say it. Okay, here's one thing. They could say it, but they also need to deal with the consequences of the repudiation they're going to get for saying it.
Right, but the key is...
If I own a restaurant, yes. And I say I hate... Say I live in Boca. A lot of Jewish people here. If I say I hate all fucking Jews and I publish it, very frankly, the fact that my restaurant business is going to go into the shithole because I said that's my, they have a right not to patronize my restaurant.
Yes.
And now, basically, you know, now, throw me out of business.
Just to be clear for anybody who might misunderstand, Yvonne, do you hate Jews?
Fuck no. Are you kidding me? Okay. I just said if I said that, geez, no, for God's sake, a lot of my
you never know when things
Jews.
Can be taken out of context.
Jews. Because
when I start my restaurant and tell everybody
No, not in the slightest, okay? I love all people. I love whites, blacks, Muslims. Listen, I love everybody, for God's sakes. I actually, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to turn any hate group anytime soon.
Anyway, but the key here is to use your analogy. It is absolutely positively fine that people don't go to your restaurant after you've said things like that. It's probably absolutely fine for them to picket outside your restaurant to point out your bigoted views and sort of, you know, encourage other people not to go to your restaurant. However, it would not be okay for them to come into your restaurant and shoot you.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes, shooting would be bad.
Or to firebomb your restaurant or to whatever. And this is where we draw the line. Like, you answer speech you don't like by more speech, you know, by making things public, whatever. You cross a very important line when, you know, because when you say, they have offended me, therefore I will kill them.
Right.
Because as a fundamental thing, I mean, you know, you don't have the right not to be offended.
Right.
You know, if somebody is doing something offensive to you, you have the right to turn around. You have the right to walk the other way. You have a right to not buy whatever thing is offensive to you. You have a right not to patronize their business. You have a right to speak out against them. But you don't have a right to stop them from saying what they're saying.
To say they sucked, you know, everything.
Yeah, you don't have a right to shut them up, and you don't have a right to kill them.
Right.
And, you know, and this is what all this is about. And both with the interview and now with this stuff, there are all kinds of people. I mean, there are tons of people that who went out and bought the interview who never would have seen that movie otherwise.
I wasn't planning on it. That I rented it, and I didn't get to watch all of it. But I watched a part of it.
And look, the thing is, because at that point, you're not necessarily saying, oh, this is the kind of movie I like. I'm going to watch it. Go blah blah blah. You're like supporting the notion that they shouldn't be shut up.
Absolutely.
And the same thing with all these people going, you know, we are Charlie. About the Charlie, I keep wanting to say Charlie Bebo.
Hebo.
But, you know, this was a relatively small magazine with a low circulation. You know, I mean, the way I've heard it described is it's one of the ones that's, you know, sitting there on the newsstand that everybody sort of looks at the cover and goes, ha ha, but very few people actually buy. You know, and, but now everybody, you know, we are Charlie. You know, because it's not saying that you support all the stuff that this magazine did. I mean, you may be offended by many of the things they did yourself. You may think they were in incredibly bad taste to post the things they posted, even if it didn't directly offend you. But yet, the fact that somebody went in and tried to shut them up by killing them means you're going to support them anyway. And so you've got a whole lot of European newspapers that are you know, plastering the front pages of their papers tomorrow with some of the offensive covers. So far, one of the additional controversies here, I mean, a lot of American news outlets have chosen not to show them directly. And some European ones are shy too, like the AP specifically, but also, you know, there's one of the people at, I believe, BuzzFeed, Rosie Gray, I believe at BuzzFeed, was going through and calling all kinds of media organizations to say, will you or will you not actually show the images that were offensive here? And pretty much, at least on the US side, all of the big traditional mainstream news organizations have said, no, they're not going to show them. They're going to blur them out. They'll talk about them, but they won't show them. Whereas all the sort of newer uppity internet stuff, they will show them. But anyway, our time is up, and it's time for a break. We'll be back right after this, and we'll see where we go next.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
Okay. So.
So,
do you want to go on more about France, or do you want to just move on?
Well,
because we haven't fully covered it, to be honest, in 15 minutes. But
well, I mean, I don't know. Well, let me ask a question. I mean, we covered what else do you think that we haven't covered at this point regarding it? Because look, the current events are the current events. I mean, they're chasing the guys, whatever. We don't know. You know, we talked about the guy to turn himself in and so forth. But, you know, you talked about the media coverage in the U.S., the overall media coverage, the attitude towards it, et cetera, and so forth. What do you think? Do you think to discuss outside of that at this point?
Well, I mean, there are a couple things about the reaction. First of all is I just started to get into the media reaction. I think the honorable thing here to do is to show the content that was offensive here. And here's my rationale between for it. Like a number of places have said, you know, our general policy is not to show images that might cause offense. And that seems like a perfectly reasonable policy for me in general. Like, if I was the New York Times, I wouldn't be publishing these.
Right. They don't normally publish those kinds of cartoons.
They don't normally publish those kinds of cartoons.
Right.
Except, however, at this point, it's a news story. The fact that an attack happened because of these images is the news story itself. And to fully understand that news story, you have to see the images. So I think, you know, yeah, absolutely. Like, as an editorial policy on my own, I wouldn't be publishing these images that I know are going to be offensive because I'm not, unlike this publication, I'm not in the business of intentionally pushing people's buttons and trying to do things that I know are going to offend certain groups. However, once it's a news story, it's a news story. And you, if you're going to truly explain and understand what this is and what's going on, you have to see it. You have to see, well, what exactly were these people pissed about? And so I think the responsible journalistic thing to do actually is to show the stuff.
No, yeah. I mean, I think that definitely, I mean, I saw them, obviously.
I've seen them too.
There was a whole bunch of sites.
I mean, here's the thing. It's not hard to find.
It's not hard to find, exactly.
They're all over social media. European outlets are showing them. But, you know, AP's not showing it. CNN's not showing it. ABC's not showing it. NBC's not showing it. The New York Times isn't showing it. The Washington Post says they will include one image on the inside of the paper, but not on the cover, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's a lot of hesitation here, and you kind of understand the hesitation. You know, one publication just got 12 people killed because they showed this stuff. You know, so there's a balance against, you know, well, do I jeopardize the safety of my employees to make a point? But at the same time, I almost think the answer has to be yes, because, you know, once you've got these threats out there that say this, you know, the last thing you possibly want is to just give in to them, because then, you know, in general, it just erodes, you know, self-censorship is one of the worst forms of censorship. Nobody's out there specifically doing anything, but you're saying, you know, if I said this, these people might get mad, and sometimes they get violent, and so I'm not going to say it. And you know, look, or even less than that, even the kind of stuff we were talking about before in terms of, you know, some people might get upset, you know. People need to be able to feel free to express what they truly believe. And like you said, there may be consequences to it, but those consequences should not involve the danger of getting killed. You know, Conan O'Brien, I saw a quote go by. I didn't watch the video yet, but apparently on tonight's show, he talks about this and he says, the one line that sums it up is, you shouldn't have to think twice before making a joke.
Yeah, I know. He's right.
You know, and that's sort of the core here. And it's like, I wish I was seeing more of the news outlets, especially these, you know, old school American news outlets, you know, standing up for basic principles like that. But, you know, they're doing a cost benefit analysis and saying, you know, we can describe the story without publishing the image, and therefore maybe they won't be mad at us. You know,
I don't know if they were thinking that. I mean, I think that,
or maybe they are saying, and maybe we won't offend people. But you know, you should.
Or maybe it's just listen. Or maybe it's just a call. Listen, what they publish, we don't think is in good taste. We won't listen. We'll cover the story. We'll talk about it. But if originally we didn't think it was in good taste ourselves,
then we still don't think it's in good.
Still don't think it's in good taste. We're not going to go and just publish it.
I can see that argument. I just don't agree with it. I mean,
it's like sometimes think about stories. For example, we've had like massive violent effects, people shot, beheaded, stuff like that, or whatever. There were a whole bunch of news networks, for example. We had these beheadings with were being done by ISIS.
Choose not to show the video. Right.
They did choose to show the video. I chose not to see the video.
Yeah, I also chose not to see it.
And that's my point. You and I made a judgment call that was so offensive that we didn't even want to see it. We know it's the source of the news. It's newsworthy. People covered it. They wrote about it. But we thought it was so offensive that, you know, we didn't want to see it. And that's a choice that we made.
Well, I think that's a legitimate choice to be made. And I think that's. And that would be a fairly responsible, you know, thing for a news organization to do, for instance, is not necessarily splash the image on the front page of all their papers, but include them in a place where the folks who want to can see them. You know, and I guess you can make the argument, it's all over the place, but...
Exactly. That's my point. Yeah. I mean, you can go and read the coverage from the New York Times. You can go and read it.
And then go Google the images for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's not like this is not 20 years ago when by the virtue of them not putting the image, you wouldn't get to see it. It's a very different time. I think that's why I feel a little bit differently about it. I mean, when it was a time before when if they didn't publish, you didn't see. That makes a big difference.
No, and like I said, look, I would not want anything mandated here. I mean, I think they all should be free to make their choice however they want. I just think the choice...
I think they had some valid reasons why they chose
There
them.
Are some valid reasons. I don't fully buy them. To me, it's like that is a critical part of the story.
If you were an editor, you would make a different call.
Yeah, I would show the images. I would show all the offensive images,
but I do understand why they didn't want to show them too.
Yeah, no, I understand the reasons. I just think it's the wrong call. I think it's the cowardly call. You know, whereas I think the point that needs to be made loud and strong here, especially by news organizations, is that people who are, you know, easily offended. And who will react to being offended by killing people should not be able to shape the course of the debate in any way, you know. And you shouldn't be worried about showing an image because somebody might be offended by it. That shouldn't be part of the discussion. It should be, is this part of the story that we want or need to tell? And in this case, I think it is. I think the story is that somebody was offended by these images, and so therefore they killed somebody. So what those images are is a critical part of that story.
Yeah. No, I understand, but you know, I get what you're saying. I got you.
And there was some other bit that I was thinking, but it's completely left my mind at this point.
Well. Okay. Well, that's a sign of your age at this point.
Yeah, I'm forgetting all kinds of things left and right. You know, at work yesterday, there was some conversation where there was some piece of information I didn't have, and I asked for somebody for that piece of information, and they gave it to me. And then 10 minutes later, I was having a conversation with somebody else entirely that included the, if only we knew that piece of information, then we could do X, Y, Z, Q, completely forgetting that I actually had that piece of information.
Well, it's like... I remembered later, but it was like, okay. I have a problem with names. Okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm
horrible with names. So the other day, I'm going through, my son has swimming lessons once a week, and I'm the one that takes him usually to the swimming lessons. So I met his professor, I don't know how many freaking times. And the other day, my wife gives me a swimming professor? Yes, because I can't remember her name right now again.
No, okay? I'm making fun that it's not a teacher or something, because...
A swimming teacher, whatever the hell, Jesus. So the teacher, or whatever the hell you want to call her,
instructor.
Great lady, fantastic, treats my son like she's an angel, my God. But I can never remember her name. So the other day, my wife gave me this little card with a gift, for Christmas for her. And it's like, this is a gift for who? That's the swim instructor. I'm like, oh crap. Okay. Oh right. Yeah. Sure. I'm like, jeez. I see her every week. I can't remember her name. So I'm just, yeah. We're having issues at our age.
Yeah. That's all I can say. We're ancient. So I'll along the name thing, just to finish up this segment. And if I want to find the actual article here, hold on. Here we go. Have you heard the name Kirby DeLauder?
Kirby DeLauder? No.
Okay, so this actually happened in the town I went to high school in. I'll call it my hometown. I lived there in my formative
Frederick?
High school years. Frederick, Maryland. Yes.
Okay.
So Kirby DeLauder is a councilman in Frederick. And apparently, somebody at the Frederick News Post, the local paper, a couple of days ago, wrote an article about them. And I don't even know the details of the article. But Kirby DeLauder took offense at that article.
Okay.
And here's the key part. He went to that reporter and to the paper, the Frederick News Post, and threatened them and said... They had used his name in the paper without his authorization. And if they ever used his name again, he'd call his attorneys and sue them.
What is he? Lost his marbles? That he would never win?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, yeah. Okay, it's a name. Like, you can...
Yeah, but the thing is, that he's an elected official. He has no protection like that whatsoever.
None whatsoever. And frankly, even a private individual would have very limited protection against.
Would have very limited protection, but as a public, but as an elected official, you have none.
So the Frederick News Post responded to him with an editorial that was published on Tuesday, January 6th.
Yeah.
Knowing Councilman Kirby DeLauder as we do, we weren't surprised that he threatened the Frederick News Post because we had said, and we're not making this up, been putting Kirby DeLauder's name in the paper without Kirby DeLauder's authorization. Attorneys would be called, Kirby DeLauder said. We, in fact, spent some time laughing about it. Kirby DeLauder, an elected official. Kirby DeLauder, a public figure. Surely Kirby DeLauder can't be serious. Kirby DeLauder's making a joke, right? This goes on for paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs. They used his name like 100 times in the article. Basically making fun of him in various ways, basically completely taking the guy down and using his name over and over and over and over again. They even have a footnote that says Kirby DeLauder.
Oh, that's beautiful. Was he that kind of a goofball when you were like in high school, or do you not remember?
I did not know this guy. I did not know Kirby DeLauder. I did go to school with like a number of other people who ended up in Frederick County government. One in particular who just left, sort of in disgrace and some sort of scandal. I don't know, but
that doesn't surprised me since he went to school with you. But
yeah, anyway. Exactly. But anyway, this is amusing, and I've heard some people, so there have been some mentions of this guy's politics. I guess he was more right wing and the paper's more left wing. Whatever. That doesn't actually matter here. The fact is he made a completely stupid comment and ended up righteously being made fun of for by the paper. And this article has gone viral. I mean, it's the biggest news Frederick County, Maryland has had, like, in years, as far as I can tell. I mean, this is apparently has been quoted in papers all across the world and blah, blah, blah. And it's just very amusing. And he actually did.
Matter of fact, I wrote just the letters K-I-R. KRB is a Google search, and it came up first search term, Kirby DeLauder.
There you go. And apparently he did today send something into the paper acknowledging his error and saying,
saying,
it appears that you're allowed to use my name or something like
you
that.
You think?
yeah, he issued a statement on Wednesday. And the paper also posted that.
I'm looking at Frederick News Post, and the headline is Kirby DeLauder, Kirby DeLauder, Kirby DeLauder.
Exactly. Anyway, another segment is up. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll talk about something for a few minutes. Back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
Come on, baby. Let's do the twist.
Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this.
I hit the radio dial and tuned it up all the way.
I got a dance
in the moonlight.
Classic music for a classic American town. AM 1620 and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com. The Valley.
Okay, we're back. So we hit the main topics. The couple other things to talk about real quick. I mentioned a couple other things. One thing I didn't mention that a number of people actually are online. There was also a bombing of an NAACP office. In the U.S., I gather nobody was hurt, though, so it's not that big a thing. But I've heard a number of people complaining that it hasn't gotten the attention it deserved because, look, here's a terrorist attack right here in the U.S., but nobody's paying any attention to it. And, you know, I think there are plenty of arguments, I mean, of you know, sort of racism or prejudice in terms of what we pay attention to or what we don't. I mean, I remember there was the attack in where was it, Minnesota or somewhere, where there was an attack on a Sikh temple or something a couple years ago, and it got nowhere near the amount of attention as some of these other events. So there is. You know, there's definitely some of that, but where, you know, if it's the, you know, the Muslims attacking, you know, middle class white Americans, oh my God! But if it's like someone attacking Muslims or someone attacking blacks or whatever, there's a little bit less attention to it. I can see there's some of that, but I don't think that's fair in this case. I mean, there was a bombing. It didn't, not much really ended up happening. Nobody was
right.
Hurt.
I mean, nobody got killed. I mean, yeah. Or you hurt.
Know, So I'm not sure about that, but I mean,
a bomb in an empty building doesn't get really that much attention. Can I be honest?
Yeah.
No.
But you know, it's gotten some attention, but you know, I think
I'm sorry. The White House got shot at. Like, what was it? They took the shots. How long was it? The shots that pissed off the president over a year ago too.
Mm-hmm.
How much attention did everybody pay to that? Not much. I mean, I don't know. I mean, when nobody gets hurt, killed. I mean,
we did spend some time talking about the Secret Service failures, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but that was like after the second breach. It wasn't really because of the shooting.
That's true. Anyway, bottom line, I think that it'd be good to see some of these things do deserve more attention than they actually got. I don't think this is really one of them.
This is not one of them. No.
Yeah. Okay. We also got the new Congress was sworn in. You know, Joe Biden, was there swearing in senators and taking pictures with people. As usual with Joe Biden, people were making fun of him in various ways about that. apparently there was some little girl who he tried to kiss and was like, no, I'm not having any of that. John Bonner, when he was sworn in, tried to kiss Nancy Pelosi, and she looked quite unhappy about that. there are another number of fun things on that. We'll see what the new Congress did. Apparently they have just in the first couple of days adopted some new rules that I've heard some people saying are setting up some sort of Social Security crisis because they passed these new rules. I don't know. We'll see when that happens, I guess. I haven't done a deep dive into that. We've talked a lot about the congressional dynamics. We'll see how it plays out. I think it'll be fun to watch, but I don't have much to say about it in the first 2 days or whatever.
Well, it is going to be quite interesting. And as we talked about before, the presidential election years, because of the nature of the race and the higher turnout always got very different. At least that's what the turnout numbers have shown over the last number of election cycles. You get very different results. And this Congress is walking into a situation where there's been a lot of stuff that Obama has been getting hammered about. But look at this. Look at the stuff. And this is what I'm wondering what they're going to do. They were complaining about the economy, and the economy keeps surging along. Okay, it keeps growing at a pretty good clip. Talking about the deficits, during the Obama administration, the budget deficit going down, trade deficit goes down. They kept complaining about energy policy and whatever we've got. Jesus, I mean, we're exporting oil almost, for God's sakes. Okay, no, we are exporting oil at this point. Oil prices have collapsed. Inflation, interest rates are down. The dollar is strong. I'm wondering what the heck. By the way, he passed a bill that insured millions and millions of uninsured people. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've got more health insurance for people, a smaller budget deficit, a smaller trade deficit. So what are they going to latch on to? And what are they going to try to bully Obama on, I guess, is the question.
Well, so, I should have said some of this on our prediction show, but, like, I have said this before. I think their strategy is not going to be – it has to be different because they're in charge. So it's not going to be not passing anything. But I think rather than try to find compromises that they can pass that the president will sign – I think what they're going to do is try to pass bills that they can say are their attempt to solve problem X, Y, or Z, but are so far away from sort of the centrist position that Democrats, including Obama, will have a very, very hard time going for them. They're going to go for the scenario where they can pass a bill and force Obama to veto it. Because of some poison pill they have in it that he just can't agree to, so that they can say, we tried to fix problem X, Obama stopped us.
I don't know. I've seen people do that before. That just never flies. It's not a great strategy. That's my point. You're going to do is like, it's like the same thing. Like they passed, like how many times did they vote to repeal Obamacare? Over the last couple of years, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
that shit doesn't really work.
Well, there's a difference in terms of how you put it together, in terms of in that case, you're trying to put something away. If you make it as this is our solution for problem X, why the hell is Obama stopping it? And you make the reason that he's stopping it something you put in there that's hard to explain, hard to understand, so that, Obama's trying to explain this horrible thing that you've put in the bill, but you... Hi, Alex. Okay.
And apparently time's up.
Not quite. But you know, make it so that it's hard to explain why you're vetoing it. Because, you know, hey, this is the thing that solves problem whatever, you know, and make you the bad guy for saying no.
Aye. Well, I mean, that is a strategy. We'll see. I don't know if that's what they're going to do. I mean, I would hope that they would try to, like, do something better than that, but I've been proven wrong before.
Okay, so, as Yvonne, that's not Yvonne, that's Alex.
That's Alex.
Alex is stepping all over my desk. Here. Go take the bell downstairs. Show mommy the bell. Show mommy the bell. I'll be done in a few minutes. Go show mommy the bell. Oh God! Now he's ringing the bell.
He's ringing the bell. I'm gonna be ringing that damn bell all night.
Yeah.
He's gonna fall asleep with a bell in his hands.
Yes. So the only other thing that we had on our list is CES.
Anything okay, exciting so they're in showing CES? Washing machines.
Tell me about the washing machines. I saw something
okay,
about a
so
stove.
For some reason LG. Well, okay. Jeez, I did read a little bit about the stupid washing machine. Okay, Samsung, they're internet connected. I don't know what the hell
you need that in a washing machine.
Of course. Okay. Samsung showed one that had like a soaking sink built in the top.
Okay.
Okay, so, all right, so say you wanted to, like, you know, you had some tough stains on something. Instead of putting it on a separate sink, it had this little thing where you could soak at the top these clothes, and then you could, like, dump them later into the wash.
Right.
LG showed one that had a separate drawer to do a smaller load and a big load.
Look, I'll tell you, there's only one thing I want out of a washing machine dryer type of combination, okay?
Which is? Clean clothes?
Let's start a... There are actually several things, but let's start with the first thing I want. I want to be able to put it in one machine, have it wash it, and then dry it.
And fold it?
And then folding is next. Yes, it should. You know, I want to dump.
Be that? I mean, if they came out,
look, I want to dump all my
dried
dirty laundry
and folded out of one machine. Damn.
Yeah, I want to drop all my shit in the top of the machine, have it figure out the right way to clean everything, sort it appropriately, whites, colors, delicates, whatever, do the appropriate things to it, dry them, fold them, match the socks, and then come out the other end. Until it can do that, I don't even want to hear about your damn washing.
My point about this is there was this guy who was writing an article talking about the first time that he goes to CES, right? And he's expecting all these a flying car, something, whatever. And he said, "Damn, I got to see fucking washing machines." Washing machines.
I saw someone else make an article about a new induction stove. Now, we have an induction stove, and that's kind of cool. Yes. We like it. But the big new innovation in inductive stoves, do you know what it is? Did you see this?
No. What is it?
It's called virtual flame technology.
Huh?
Do you know what it is now?
No. What, does it show like a flame, like a fake flame, so it looks like it's flaming, but it's...
Exactly. It's a ring of blue LED lights that turns on when it's on. It goes where the burner is and makes the side of your pots and pans look like there are little blue flames there in the reflections, so that you have a visual indication that it's on.
Look, you went and you spent the money on the induction. I gotta admit that I had to shop for a stove this summer because my other stove got flooded.
Yeah.
And I looked at all those, and I looked at what they offered, looked at whatever, and I bought a regular glass cooked up, and I saved. I did not spend the money. I spent a substantial less amount of money.
I'll tell you, my wife's looking at me. She loves the induction stove.
I hear you. I get that. I you know what? I know, and I've heard about it.
You dismissed it because you didn't have virtual flame technology.
Well, that must be it. I don't have the virtual flame technology.
But now, now you can have your induction stove, and you can have it look like there was actual fire there, even though there isn't.
You know,
and that makes all the difference.
Okay. I just think the my point about this is we're talking about virtual flame technology, and we're talking about damn frickin' washing machines. CES apparently is quite boring.
Well, look, they I mean, it's also the big theme is 4K TVs for like the third year in a row.
They've been out for exactly my point. They've been out for 3 years.
And I've
seen, wow, the big theme is to show you something we've only shown you, show you again that we haven't been able to get anybody to buy for the last 3 years.
And I've seen a stream of announcements of various gadgets of one sort or another, some of which I'm like, okay, that would be interesting. Like, but you know, nothing that like blows my mind. Like one,
that's my point.
One that my wife has a bunch of fish tanks. She likes doing the fish thing. And there was somebody announced a device that floats in your fish tank and connects via Bluetooth and gives you alerts and stuff when your fish tank's chemistry needs adjusting. Okay, that's interesting. It's not going to change my life.
Internet connected fish tank now.
Yeah, internet connected fish tank. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I saw TiVo came out with an announcement. You know how a couple weeks ago we were talking about the Apple TV and how it needed sort of a unified interface so that you could see your stuff at all?
Yep.
So they're announcing an enhanced season pass kind of thing that's going to be rolled out to even their existing boxes where, like, if you search on a show, it's going to give you everything in all the sources it knows about, live TV, Netflix, wherever, and put it in a unified format to you. So very similar to what we were talking about. So they announced that that's going to be rolling out soon. Okay. Yeah. Those are kind of cool. But again, there's nothing that, at least that I've seen so far, and I get, is it over? I don't know. Is it over? Or still
CES?
No.
It's still going on. Still going on.
So I mean, at least the stuff I've seen.
I got somebody I know who's at CES, and I'm waiting to come back.
Okay, go ahead.
I was gonna see if he could tell me that there's something interesting he saw at CES.
It actually is time. Alex is ringing the bell again, but it's actually time for us to stick to our rules and say goodbye. Now, we have gone over an hour because I didn't count the beginning of our first segment in this, and I didn't count the breaks. But we've basically stuck to 15-minute segments for the actual topics we're talking about.
I am seeing, by the way, a Volkswagen with these massive screens in the car. Okay, like bigger than even the ones in the Tesla. That's apparently at CES.
Not sticking anymore.
Yeah. Here. Alex is asking for tape.
And for Amy's bed.
Here you go. Take it. Okay, go.
All right. Tape.
Don't make me. But can you cut three pieces of
tape? Cut three pieces of tape for you. Sure, I'll do this. Will you help us say goodbye?
We need to say goodbye.
Oops, I messed that one up. So thanks everybody for joining us for Curmudgeon's Corner once again. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com or reach us on Twitter. I'm at abelsmay. Yvonne is at imbo. We love to hear from you. And, you know, hey, we'll be back.
This one got it too.
Yeah. And we'll be back again next week with more topics of the day. In the meantime, have a great week, everybody. Goodbye. You're going to say goodbye?
Bye-bye.
You're going to say goodbye, Alex? You're going to ring the bell again?
Ring the bell.
There you go.
My bell's rung.
Yep. Goodbye, everybody.